found grace to save my soul. At the cross, grace made me whole. When my Savior took control and washed my sin away. Now the fellowship is sweet as I worship at His feet. Only by His grace I have found this holy place. Underneath His wings of love, trusting in my God above. Grace for every need, grace that overflows and far exceeds, lavished on my soul at Calvary, only by His grace. Every valley I have known, such compassion I've been shown. Given strength that's not my own, it's only by His grace. Every burden that I bear, Jesus comes and meets me there. Holy place, underneath His wings of love, trusting in my God above. Grace for every need, grace that overflows and far exceeds, lavished on my soul at Calvary, only by His grace, only by His grace. God's grace.
All right, thank you for that. We passed out all the little handouts. Well, a couple things before we get into here. Inside of your bulletin are a couple things I want to point out. It's our monthly top 10 prayer requests. So we November is 10 days away, right? November 1st is Friend Day, right? So that'll be for November. You can start praying about that. And then on the inside of the bulletin also, you can look over our preparing for Friend Day. We won't go over that. We'll read through this on Sunday. And I encourage you to look at that. And then next Thursday night, what we're going to do, a little different, we're going to teach a little bit related to Friend Day in the service. And then the last 10 minutes of the service, what we'll do is we'll have a prayer time for Friend Day. If you want to, we've done it before on Sunday nights. We all go to the building and so forth. We won't do that this time. But what we'll do is you can just with your family or someone close by you if you're comfortable with that. And so we'll spend the last 10 minutes of the service next Thursday praying and getting ready for Friend Day. We'll have a prayer list for you. And everything about that. Proverbs. We've been looking in Proverbs actually since January. Now, we took some time off. We've had special speakers, missions. I think during the summer we did a different lesson series. But we're back in Proverbs. There's a lot of wisdom in Proverbs. It's the book of wisdom. I don't know how many times I've read through it. I've read through Proverbs many times, probably 100, 150 times at least, maybe more. And you can never get enough of it. There's a lot in Proverbs. And so we're looking at it. We started a lesson on finances several weeks ago. And so we want to get back to that. Proverbs chapter 4:7, of course, the key verse, wisdom's a principal thing. Therefore, get wisdom. And with all thy getting, get understanding. And we mentioned Proverbs wisdom deals with many aspects of life. And there's a lot of aspects of our Christian life that we kind of box out of spirituality and wisdom. You know, well, what's the deal with finances? What does that have to do with the Bible? It has a lot to do with the Bible, okay? And so Proverbs talks much about it, and that's why we're looking at it, and it's taken us a few weeks. As we mentioned, money is neither good nor bad. It's amoral, okay? It's not inherently evil. It's not inherently good. It's a tool. It's whatever you use it for, whatever you make it. Really, and the more I've been studying through this, if you look at Proverbs, it asks really three things about our finances, three questions you could come up with. Why do we want it? How do we get it? How do we use it? That right there is pretty much all of it, and you could take almost every principle that we're going to look at and file it under one of those three categories. Now, we're not going to say anything about them, but we will just read through the ones we've done so far. Number one, an excessive desire for wealth or possessions can lead us to a lawless lifestyle. Number two, see your possessions as tools by which you can bring honor and glory to God. Number three, honoring God with your finances starts with giving God his portion first. Number four, honoring God brings tangible blessings. Number five, God will provide for those who seek to live for God. That's a little redundant. For him, should be, and serve him. Number six, true riches are measured by having God's blessing on your life. Number seven, temporal riches can bring more problems and pleasure. And number eight, God hates, and that's not my word, that's his, God hates deceitful business dealings, but he delights in honest business practice. Okay, number nine. Having wealth doesn't shield you from problems. Having wealth doesn't shield you from problems. We won't spend much time on this. We mentioned it in passing, some of our other thoughts. Proverbs 11:4, riches profit not in the day of wrath, but righteousness delivereth from death. When people think of business and finances in business, they think of making a profit, being profitable. What is profitable? After all is said and done and everything that you pay for everything, that's the money you've made, the money you have extra over. That's your profit margin. That's what he uses the word there, riches profit not in the day of wrath. Rightfully, none of us want to have less than our needs really require. Proverbs, though, is telling us of one place where wealth doesn't have a profit margin. Okay? That's in the problems of life. Most people in our society think if they just had enough money, everything would be solved. It's not the case. Money can't shield you from problems. The problems of life come to everybody. The day of wrath here, if I look, could be talking about man's one lasting problem, which is sin. It could talk about that time when we stand before God and we have to stand before him. We're either going to stand in our own righteousness, which is not good, or we stand in his righteousness, which is good. But riches don't take care of the important issues and problems that we face in life. If we stand before him without true righteousness, which is the righteousness of Christ, nothing we have or anything we have done can spare us. And by the way, nothing we've done nothing we have is worth anything. What does it profit a man if he gain the whole world and he loses his own soul? You know, you think of the best life that you could think of on this earth, whatever you think it would be. Think of what an unsaved, an unspiritual person would think. This would be the ideal life. Even if you could live 200 years in that setting, if you die without Christ, it's a waste. The second that person dies, they're going to regret it. There's more to life than that, okay? We need to understand that. But wealth does not shield us from those problems. Fact of the matter is, it can cause a lot more problems than it actually will solve. You know, you see, very tragic, but how many times do we hear in the news of those who people would envy, those people would look to and say, wow, they have it all. And yet we find problems and things that come in their life, and you realize even though they had it all, that wasn't all they really needed. That's how we live our lives sometimes. We look at people that sometimes they come from a bad background, or maybe a poor background, or a background that's challenging. and they're able to work hard and overcome it. We think of terms of success as in they have a business, they make all this money, and we think, wow, they really, really made it through. Did they really? But God's not against money. Fact of the matter is, I want many of you to get some. We get that building finished, right? Okay, it's nothing wrong. I hope as you're going through this, it's answering the question, why do we want it? What are we associating with it? We need to be very, very careful. You want to overcome, we overcome because of who we are in Christ. You see the verse in 1 John. You are of God, little children, and have overcome them because greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. So don't trust in what you have. People do that. They're trusting in what they have, and we'll talk about that in a minute. Number 10, totally switching gears here. You ready? Co-signing brings serious problems. Co-signing brings serious problems in most cases. Proverbs 11:15. That's what the word surety is. Okay, so that's what it is when we read it. He that is surety for a stranger shall smart for it. So what does smart for it mean? I don't know. It doesn't sound good. You know, when you get hurt sometimes, it says, oh, that's smart. We don't use that term anymore. It's like, yeah, it does. Okay, and if you're surety for somebody, it's going to hurt. But he that hateth suretyship is sure. Proverbs 22:6. Be not thou one of them that strike hands or of them that are sureties for debts. Phrase I heard someone tell me. Don't make your drama my drama, okay? Now, problems, we're here to help people with their problems, okay? That's just being a Christian. When I say drama, I mean when someone is experiencing the consequences of their decisions and they wait till the last minute and they want to dump it on you and they don't want help to not get in that situation again, they want you to take away the drama. And you're supposed to live their drama for them. People do that, okay? I could give testimony. I'm not going to do it. One area where people do that is with their finances. They want to make their drama your drama. They want to make their problems your problems. You need to be very careful about that. Family members can be good at this. I had a family member years ago, and maybe I'm not compassionate enough, pray for me, but there was some legal issues they needed to take care of, and it involved a class they had to take, or else they were going to find themselves with some new accommodations. And they had a year to take care of this. They waited till the day before, didn't save up money for the class, and they came to me and said, I need you to pay for this. I'm like, no, I'm not paying for that. They're like, come on, man, blood's thicker than water. Like, okay, thank you for the science fact. I'm glad it's thicker than water, but I ain't got that money, and I'm not paying for it. You had like 6 months to a year to take care of this. Don't come dump it on me and think I'm just giving you money I don't have. No. See me? No, I didn't have the money. People are like that. They want to put you in a bad position because of their decisions. And one of the ways they do that is co-signing. Friends can be good at this. Here, co-signing is specifically mentioned. What is co-signing? For those of you that don't know, it's promising to take on someone's debt in a loan if they do not pay it back. So Brother Joseph Esposito over here, he wants a loan for a new car. And they're like, nope. You don't qualify. But I'll co-sign for you, man. I trust you. And I co-sign for him. He gets the car because they're giving him the car based on my credit. He quits making the payments. They don't get upset with him. It's a reason they have a co-signer. They just come see me and say, hey, guess what? You just got yourself a brand new car payment. No car. That's co-signing. Okay? I remember when I was in 10th grade, wasn't old enough to drive yet, but back then mopeds were kind of the rage. You know what moped is? It's like a bicycle. Brother Robert, you remember? It was like a bicycle with an engine on it. They only went about 30 miles an hour. Now, I got one. Now, I figured out how if you pop some things out of the muffler and you poked a couple holes in it, you can get that thing going 45 miles an hour. So mine went pretty fast. But anyway, I wanted one. And my mom wouldn't, I was, you know, 10th grade. I was working for my dad. I was making a little bit of money. My mom didn't want to have anything to do with it. My aunt, Vera, remember, she used to go, she co-signed for me. I remember I put like 30 bucks down, and it was like 30 bucks a month for 1 year. And I'm like, I got it covered. Aunt Vera, 3 months after I owned the thing, someone stole it. Amen. What a blessing. Yeah, that was great. But I still made those payments because that's what you're supposed to do. Now, my aunt was fortunate that I don't know, somewhere along the line, someone told me, you know, if it's your bill, you take care of it. Now, 3 months after I made, it was, by the way, those, you know, for a 10th grader, those payments were hard. 3 months later, the police actually found it, and I got it back, so that was good. But most people, they don't do that, okay? You got to be very, very careful. If someone needs a cosigner, more often than not, it's because they have bad credit or none at all, or they don't have enough income to really afford what they're asking for. You say, then why would someone give them a loan with a cosigner? Because they're going to check your credit, and you're going to pay for it. Be very careful. They're putting you at risk by asking. They're challenging your friendship. They're challenging who you are as a family. And you know what? I just have a thing. I'm never going to do something just because I'm pressured to do it. All right, if someone's pressuring me to do something right, like, hey, you know, you ought to go soul winning. Okay, that's fine. Okay, now, that's, I'm talking about that. But I'm talking about someone pressuring me to do something that I'm kind of iffy about. As soon as I feel pressure, it's like, I'm back. You're not pressuring me. Okay? You know, we bought cars before, and you have to deal with the salesman. I don't talk to, I'm like, no, you just, I'll look at the car. I'm not dealing with you. I'll tell you when I'm ready, and I'll tell you how much I want to pay. Okay? I'm just, because they're going to get you, I found they want to squeeze you and get everything out of you, and it's not a good thing. Challenging. Here's the Bible principle. Don't do it unless you are okay with the problems that come with it. If you're okay with that, then go ahead. If you're like, you know what, I don't mind making your payment, go right ahead, because odds are you're going to be making that payment. Be very careful. What happens is, how many relationships, and if I gave some of you a chance to give testimonies, you probably could. How many relationships in life have been strained and in some cases ruined because of finances? By the way, same thing with borrowing. I'm not going to lend you money. The only time I would lend somebody money is if I'm willing to let them have it. This isn't going over very well, but that's fine. I remember twice in Bible college, people asked me to borrow money. Now, when I first got into Bible college, I had a little bit I had saved, and somehow a couple people I knew found out. They asked me for the money. Could I borrow the money? I gave them. I borrowed them the money. Now I sound like a kid. I let them borrow the money. Neither one of them ever paid me back. Now, to me, it wasn't a big deal because in my mind, when I lent it to them, I'm like, I don't. If they pay me back, that's great. If not, I don't see it as a loan. And if I wasn't willing to do that, I would not let them borrow the money in the first place. And by the way, if someone, you can come and ask me, but the answer is already no, so don't bother. If someone comes to me and says, can I borrow $100? And I was going to do it, I would say, yes, I'll give you the $100, but it's not a loan. I'm giving it to you. What happens? You know what? Yeah, I'll lend it to you. And it's like, you know, I don't care if they pay me back, and you don't care. But if they don't pay you back, then what happens? They see you come and they go the other direction. Oops. They're embarrassed. So what do? The best thing to do is not do it. There are three parties involved in co-signing. Are you ready? There's three people. First of all, there's the banker or the one giving the loan. He's happy to give the loan with a co-signer. You know why? His business is giving loans. That's where he makes money. So he's more than happy to give a loan with a co-signer. Then there's a person that's receiving the loan who needs the co-signer. They're happy because they're getting what they want. And then there's a person that co-signs. He didn't make any money off the loan because he's co-signing. He didn't get anything from the loan because it's not for him. It's for the other person. You know, all he got was liability if it doesn't come through. By the way, and I know I've had enough people tell me, yeah, I was just, I don't know where I was. I was talking to somebody within the last week, and I wasn't even talking about this. They're like, I remember one time I co-signed for this person. I had to end up paying into their loan. Okay, so be very careful. If you value friendships, if you value family relationships, don't get finances involved unless you're willing to give the money to them. Okay? Because you're risking it. And I know, look, when was the last time I borrowed money from somebody? When we got our house, we didn't buy it traditionally. We got it, someone was losing it to foreclosure. So we paid their loan off, and then we went down and made sure they didn't sell the house at auction. And then the house already had like $150,000 equity, so we refinanced the loan into our name, and I borrowed. By the way, we didn't have a penny. I don't even know how we bought a house. We had zero. So I went to my wife asked my brother-in-law, and he lent us the money to get their loan current and give them a little money to get out of the house. And I already knew that as soon as I get the house, I just open up an equity line of credit, and I'll take that out and pay him back immediately. And that's exactly what we did. That may not have been a good deal for him. But I wouldn't have done it if I was going to have to make payments. Okay? Finances, we're so fickle with how we deal with each other, and it just does nothing but cause problems. So be very careful. Don't let someone else's lack of life structure cause your ruin. Okay, I probably shouldn't. I had a relative one time, and he got free accommodations for the weekend. You know what I'm talking about. And he got a free ride there and put some bracelets on his hand, and he was having a good time. And so he did something wrong. They put him in jail for the weekend. He calls me and says, hey, is your card paid for it? Oh, yeah, it is. He goes, I want you to bail me out. I don't want to be here all weekend. He goes, just put your car up. I said, no. No. He started getting all emotional. I'm like, look, I'm not putting my car. And by the way, there's been some. So I'm not putting my car on the line for you just so you can get out of jail 2 days early. Here's a memo. Don't go to jail in the first place. Okay, maybe I'm not nice. I try to be nice, but you're not. I'm not, you know, that I gotta get it to work. You know, I'm not thumbing because you decided to do something. Just open it. Emotions. Our emotions get involved. That's my mijo. You know, that's my amigo. I'm gonna bail him out. I'll do anything. You're gonna be doing anything. All right. Your emotions get involved. Okay. There's pressure, impulse. By the way, that's what salesmen do. They put pressure on you. They want you to do impulse. Your emotions get involved. I got to have this. By the way, it's very, you know, how many of you ever walked into a store and you're just walking in there, you're just hanging out, and it's like, I don't even need that, but I got to have that. How many know what I'm talking about? I don't need a new computer, but if I walk in the Apple store, I want a new computer. Why? Because no one would own a Windows machine. No, I'm just kidding. I have one of those too. But you just walk in there, it's like, you know, my computer's a year old, but that one looks better. Why? And then the salesman, hey, how you doing right there? That one has, oh, it'll solve world hunger. No, it won't. All right? Don't make financial decisions based on pressure. Don't do it. Just have a decision. You know what? And all you do is, we talked about Daniel a couple weeks ago on Sunday night. We'll talk about Daniel this Sunday night. Daniel just made a decision ahead of time. That's what purpose is. He said, here's the line. And there's certain things I don't cross over. And he said, so this is my line right here. So when he knew he was going into Babylon and he knew they were going to ask him to cross the line, he already knew in his mind the answer is no, I'm not crossing the line. So you have these financial principles in place. And if someone comes, it's like, I don't do that. I'm sorry. It's a financial I live by. I don't do that. It just makes it a lot easier. All right, number 11. You say, well, the person won't like me if I don't do that. Then they're not a real friend in the first place. Okay, here we go. Number 11. Is that number 11? Yes. holding tightly to what you have leads to poverty. Letting go of what you have leads to plenty. Well, a lot of things God says doesn't make sense, but it does work. Okay? If it made sense and you could explain it, then I guess God wouldn't be involved. Proverbs 11, verse 24. There is that scattereth, throwing out, and yet increaseth. There is that withholdeth more than is meet, but it tendeth to poverty. The liberal soul shall be made fat. Fat in the Bible is prosperity. It's not, you know, we ate too much. The liberal soul shall be made fat. He that watereth shall be watered also himself. He that withholdeth corn, holds back, hangs on to, the people shall curse him. But blessing shall be upon the head of the just. Now, what are they saying here? Okay. He's saying in the first verse, the one who scatters, in other words, spreads out what he has, doesn't end up with less because he got rid of some of it. He ends up with more. What's the picture there? The picture is farming, obviously. Farming illustration. If you buy the seeds and you get rid of the seeds, you scatter them or plant them, you're not losing them. You threw them out and they're going to come back to you in a harvest. In the 30s, there was in the Oklahoma, primarily Oklahoma, other in that surrounding area, what we call the Dust Bowl. How many have ever heard of the Dust Bowl? By the way, that's not a football game on New Year's Day, okay? The Dust Bowl, no. The Dust Bowl was, there was some factors involved with it, and it just, the land was ruined. The dirt would come, and it'd get in the wind, and it would blow, and it ruined the crops for many years. The ground was not fertile at all. Nothing was growing. Many of the farmers lost their land, and many had to actually leave that area until things turned the corner. But in an illustration I read, there was one guy there, and towards the end of it, now they didn't know they were towards the end of it, but they would plant their seed hoping this year they wouldn't get the Dust Bowl and they'd get the rain they need and they would get a harvest. And the one man, he had lost several years in a row and he had a seed and he had a decision to make. Do I hold on? This is the last of my seed. And, you know, financially, it was killing him. Do I hold on to it and wait another year and hopefully, you know, maybe I gain a crop or try to make it through this year without a crop? Or do I go ahead and take a chance and plant it, realizing I can lose the last of what I have? Now, fortunately for him, he made the decision. Let's try it this year and let's hope this is the year. And actually that year they got some rain. It kind of turned around a little bit. He was able to get a crop because he threw his seed out. Now, what if he would have held on to it? He would have got nothing back. The Bible tells us that's how we are with our money. Okay? Now, I'm telling you, make wise financial decisions and be frugal with your money, all that stuff. But on the other hand, we don't just hold on to it. Okay? Those that are selfish and they hold on to it, you're never letting it go for anybody or anything else. That doesn't help you to have it because you held on to it. That doesn't lead to more. That actually leads to less in God's economy. Then he says there, then there's a cautious man. He holds on to what he has. Okay, and there is that withholdeth more than his meat, but that tendeth to poverty. I'm going to hoard it a little bit. I'll hang on to it because if I hang on to it, then I'll have abundance. And God says that also doesn't work. The liberal soul shall be made fat, and he that watereth shall be watered himself. Again, the farming illustration. Once it's planted, it's got to be watered. As you water it, that helps it to grow. And you're going to be watered yourself if you're not selfish, if you're not hanging on to it. The liberal man is saying, listen, not how much can I hang on to, how much can I give away? Now, by the way, we are very cautious sometimes in what we do with our money because we've all been burned. Okay, how many of you have ever maybe helped somebody financially or something and you've been burned? Okay, you know, they lie or they do this. But by the way, most people think that you spell church ATM and they come here. I've heard every story, every single story. Back when we had the little two-story house here, and I had the front office in the bottom floor. I think I was the only one. Brother Panay, you were in the back though, so you were shielded. But people would come, and they'd come right to my door. Come in the, they knew it was the church office, and ask for money. And I heard every story in the book. I had a guy come one time, and he wanted money. Him and his wife, he needed money for toilet paper. Now, just so happens, I had a restroom in my office, and there was toilet paper in there. So I'm like, okay, well, let's see how this works. I'm like, are you sure that's all you need money for? He goes, I don't need money for anything else. He goes, I'm just kind of embarrassed. We just need some toilet. We have food. We have everything we need. I just need toilet paper. I said, you wouldn't. I said, now, I know you wouldn't do this, but other people have come by and asked for money, and they haven't told the truth. So you're telling me you just need money for toilet paper. He goes, I'm telling you that's all we need. I'm like, I can help you with that. He's like, great. I said, wait here. I went into the bathroom. He didn't know it was a bathroom. I came out and I found out something very interesting. He did not want toilet paper. I not only had one roll for him, I had two. Because I want to be liberal, you know? He didn't want that. And as soon as they found out, he's like, he got mad. So sometimes people try to burn us, so we don't want to help others. But you know, sometimes there are people that have legitimate needs that God brings our way, or we see it and we know it's legitimate. God's like, listen, well, I hold on to me, I'll lose out. You know, there's just a principle. God says, don't be like that. Help others. Then he says, he that withholdeth corn, the people shall curse him. But blessing shall be upon the head of the him that selleth it. And that's probably talking about someone that maybe was holding on to it, hoping that the scarcity from not selling it would drive up the price and he'd be more profitable than he really needed to be, or that he really legitimately should be. When this was something that people needed. What is the whole principle here? I'll tell you what the principle is. It's in the New Testament. It's right there in Galatians. You reap what you sow. You reap what you sow. That is in every area of life. Look at Galatians. The verses are right there. Be not deceived. Don't be fooled. God is not mocked. For whatsoever a man soweth, again, crops, that shall he also reap. Whatever you're sowing is what you're going to reap. For he that soweth to his flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption. If everything you're doing is for yourself, or it's wrong, or it's sinful, or it's fleshly, do you know what that harvest is going to be? It's going to be a fleshly harvest. And it won't be good. Then it says, but he that soweth to the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap life everlasting. Spiritual reaping, spiritual sowing, spiritual reaping. Verse 9, and let us not be weary in well-doing. And it's connected to what that whole concept is right there. And let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not. So listen, so if that's true, let's make sure that we're sowing in good works, in good deeds. Well doing. Then the next verse, it's not arbitrary. As we have therefore opportunity, let us do good unto all men, especially unto them who are of the household of faith. Seems to me like we're supposed to be concerned and care about other people. Those that try to think that the only way to get ahead is just hold on to it and keep on to it and limit what you give away and all that, you're missing it. God says that doesn't lead to plenty, that leads to poverty. Selfishness always does. And worst case scenario, if you still have a bankroll, it's a poverty of spirit. I'll end with this. I remember during stewardship month, I read an article and it referenced a book. There was this man, he decided for 1 year to live biblically. He wasn't saved, but in order to write the book and study, he wrote several books like that. He would become immersed in something and then write about it. So he's like, I'm going to live like a Christian for a year. And, you know, he'd go to church and do these different things that, you know, allegedly Christians do. And I don't know if he mocked or whatever. But then he came to his wife after the third month of the year and said, hey, you know what that includes? That means we got to tithe. She's like, well, she didn't really buy into the concept. And neither did he. But he's like, if I'm going to be legitimate here, I got to tithe. Now, he didn't give to a church. He said he picked a charity online. So he went to the little website there, and, you know, he set up his money. And he said it was a pretty good chunk of change. He makes some money. And he said that he was literally shaking and sweating as he was going to click the button to finalize the transaction of that money he was given. He didn't want to do it. He said, man, I struggle with it. And he goes, I clicked it. He goes, and something funny happened. Now, by the way, the guy's an atheist. He said, I felt good. He said, I almost felt God. And then he just made the little comments about, you know, being generous. Why? It's a biblical principle. We can't just live in our own little bubble. Now, I'm going to tell you, you know, have a budget, all this stuff and all that, but let me, don't break your budget, but we can't be selfish. If we hold on to it, the tighter we hold on to it, the less we have. And God blesses those who sow. Let's pray.